For 40 years, a tribe in our region has been working to access the water they feel they're owed by the federal government. And those efforts are more urgent than ever as climate change and development continue to affect their water supplies. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Rodell reports.
It's a gray and snowy day in late winter on the Jemez Pueblo Reservation in north-central New Mexico. Peter Madalena is standing on the banks of the Jemez River, a tributary of the Rio Grande. Madalena says the river's higher than it has been in recent winters, thanks to more days like this one, filled with snow.
It's a blessing that we're getting it because we're going to have more water and hopefully more people plant.
Madalena is the Pueblo's first lieutenant governor. He's also a lifelong farmer, like many here at Jemez. The tribe doesn't own any casinos or large energy sources. They're largely supported by farming, with corn and chilies being their primary crops. That means they rely heavily on this river, which they divert for agriculture.
The crop from the seed up, as they say, we grow together. So that's what we're trying to protect here, the water.
But that hasn't always been easy. Back in 1938, New Mexico, Colorado, and Texas signed a compact that divided the Rio Grande Basin waters among the states. But native tribes and pueblos didn't have a seat at the table. That forced them to negotiate settlements or file lawsuits, even though their rights predate all water users. Paul S. Chinana is a five-term Jemez Pueblo governor and member of the tribal water team. He's been involved with negotiations since they started back in 1983.
We've been having a lot of water shortages for as long as I can remember. And there was a lot of people that were moving in upstream.
As more water users, mainly homes and businesses, are built to the north, less of it flows down to Jemez. And there's another ongoing challenge impacting the amount of available water.
Drought. It's just hard to get everything running normal like it's supposed to run when there's no water.
Traditionally, the Pueblo's growing season runs from April to October, but the season often gets cut by water shortages, to the point that some don't even want to plant anymore.
This climate change has really made us even think harder. What can we do? How can we make these things work?
That's Michael Toledo Jr. He's a three-term governor and a longtime negotiator on the tribal water team. And he's a farmer who says the lack of water hurt his crops badly last year.
That's the way it goes sometimes. And it's year by year, but it's our way of life. We got to take care of our own land and you know, take care of what we have.
The federal government has set aside $2.5 billion to settle disputes over tribal water rights. So far, a number of tribes have already reached settlements. That includes the Navajo Nation in New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah, the Nez Perce tribe in Idaho, and the Southern Ute tribe in Colorado. Last fall, several lawmakers from New Mexico introduced bills to approve Pueblo water settlements. For Jemez, it would create a trust fund of $290 million for water-related projects and confirm the tribe's rights to more than 6,000 acre-feet per year. That equals enough water to cover 6,000 acres of land 1 foot deep. Here's U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich speaking before the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs.
The settlements will provide critically needed funding for water infrastructure to develop and distribute new water to Pueblo homes and businesses.
But the Jemez Pueblo is still waiting for its water rights to be approved. And Congress has been newly divided after Republicans took control of the House. Here's Paul S. Chinana again.
I just hope that we get a settlement. It's always an upstream battle, and we're not there yet.
Back on the banks of the Jemez River, Peter Madalena is thinking beyond the water the Pueblo needs to fill their fields this year.
It's just part of our lives, and I think it's very important that we continue the livelihood, not just for us, but for our grandkids and their kids way down the line.
That's why he's glad to see the surrounding mountains covered in snow, and he's praying for plenty of rainfall this spring and for their water rights to be secured sooner than later. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Bradle.
This story was supported by the Water Desk, an initiative from the University of Colorado Boulder's Center for Environmental Journalism. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I have never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast in its latest series, Taking Cover.